Thank you, Sam. You can see the panic on a worship leader's face when the guy in the back's going, because we weren't ready. So now we're ready. So I appreciate Sam keeping it going for us. Good to see you this morning. I'm Steve, Director of Ministries. Good to have you here with us. And as you well know by now, you're in a no judgment zone. So you're free to worship as you wish. Stand, sit, clap, lift hands, do whatever brings you closer to Christ today. That's our desire. Also in your bulletin, you will find a connection card. We would love for you to fill that card out on the front side, at least, and we will have a record of your being with us today. We like to connect with you, but we don't always get to do it in person. So the card helps us do that down the road. So we're glad you're here. We're actually here on Mr. Sam Brown's last official day. I say official because you know you'll be around. Yeah, so, but Sam has been with us 6 years.
There was a break there, but yeah.
Okay.
Then I came back.
Overall, six. Yeah. Yeah, well, I had one of those too. It's fine. So, yeah, 6 years and has been worship leading at all our venues. And it's just been a fantastic journey to have him alongside. We're going to have more to say at the end of the service, but I want you to enjoy.
I'm leaving early today, did I tell you that?
Oh, I missed that part. No, yeah. So, anyway, we're just going to be led in worship by him. Pastor Dave Shim is going to bring the word to us today. And if you haven't had the blessing of hearing Dave share, you're missing it. He's a fantastic communicator. You'll love to hear his word today. So I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll turn it over to Sam to lead us in worship. Father, we thank you for the goodness of this day and for the blessing it is to be in your presence. And we pray as we go forward that everything bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and let's worship the Lord who gives us a new heart.
Oh, I have days I lose a fight, try my best, just don't get it right. Where I talk to talk that I don't want, miss the moment right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand I could have held. When I can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed. I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Oh, to feed the beggar on the street, love to be your hands and feet, freely give what I receive. Lord, help me be. I want to put this above all else, love my neighbor as myself. In the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. A little more I'm living everything I preach, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me.
Amen. God, we just ask that we would just step aside today, Lord, and let you. We just ask you to have your way here, Lord. Have your way in our lives, God, beyond this building, Lord.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, and you never do.
You can follow along in your handouts, the words in it.
I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. come on my soul. Ooh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Sing that one more time.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else that's fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Very lovely. Please be seated. My favorite hero in the Bible is Joseph. I know there are a lot of famous people who did a lot of famous things, but Joseph is one who never is shown to do anything wrong. He is a favored son of his father because he's a good boy and well behaved, but because he's a favored son, he's despised by his brothers. So one day when they're out in the fields, the brothers throw him in a pit where the Bible says he cried out and lamented for their mercy, but they didn't show him any. They sold him to slave traders. The slave traders sold him to a rich man and his wife. And he stood there in that place, and he decided that God put him here so he would be the best slave you could be and be obedient to his master and obedient to God. The owner's wife tempted him to break God's laws, and Joseph said, no, I'm here to obey my God. I cannot do this. I obey your husband, who is my boss. And so she lied about him and had him thrown into prison. In prison, he decided to be the best prisoner he could be and was so well behaved, they put him in charge of all the other prisoners. Finally, one day, through the power of God, he was lifted out of prison, made the second most powerful person in the whole country of Egypt. There, he served Pharaoh with diligence and made Pharaoh owner of all the property in the nation and vastly wealthy. And one day it happened. Those brothers showed up. When he was at their They were at his mercy because they, because of a drought, were out of food and needed him to supply them with grain. And that was a moment when he could have gotten revenge. Instead, he embraced them, told them he was their brother, and forgave them. And they pleaded with him and said, we were sorry for what we did. And he said, you know the famous saying, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He was an example of our first verse written out for you there. The first blank is, God demands your whole heart. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Joseph did that. See the next three blanks? Your heart, complete devotion. Your soul, your entire life and identity. Your might, all your strength and ability. I would like to tell you another story about me. And it contains a hero also, but it's not me. when I was in college, one of the classes I attended went to an auditorium. And the auditorium held hundreds of students. I didn't know any of them, but I remember going there one day. It was raining outside, and I was standing inside the auditorium welcome area, just waiting for class to begin, and the door crashed open, and a classmate, a young lady, ran in, slipped on the floor. Her books went flying. Her glasses went flying right there in front of me, and I didn't know what to do. And I said to myself, I was a shy person, and I said, I wouldn't want someone to see me do that, so I just turned and looked the other way. I told you there was not a hero here. There was a hero. Another student ran over to her, got down on his knees, helped her up, found her glasses for her, helped her pick up her books. And I remember that to this day, not just because he was a hero, I remember because I was such a failure at doing the right thing. Honestly, I stood there in that moment, way before I was an adult, way before I had plans on being a pastor, and I said, I want to be like that person. I don't want to be like I was. Number two, it says our heart is divided. I look at Pastor Steve. You know how they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Now that I'm an old dog, I find this to be true. And I can't do this fill-in-the-blank thing regularly, so I'm doing it in groups, okay? So under two, your heart is divided. We love God and ourselves. We love God when it benefits us, and our hearts are prone to drift, split, and wander. I thought it should be wander, but whatever the case, we know from experience how hard it is to be as good as Joseph was. We know times when we have failed, and until you handle that, you can't figure out how to be a disciple. Now, what has happened, with the help of Satan, an American religion has been invented. And this religion says, all God wants you to do is just do your best and show up at the gates of heaven, and he'll sort it out. It's an absolutely false religion. What God has said is we are to be as perfect as the Father in heaven, and we have failed. Until we can manage that failure, you can't take the next step. So, Lord, I want to be a disciple. What about all the regret? What about all the failure? We handle that first. Our life group is reading through the book of Mark, and I had not noticed it before so much, but the disciples struggled with one thing about Jesus. They loved it that he could take one happy meal and feed 5,000 people. They loved it that he could heal the sick. They loved it that whenever the important people came and argued with them, Jesus could out-argue anybody. They loved all of that. They just could not figure out that he was God. Until one day, a storm threatened to capsize the boat, and he stood in the boat, and he stilled the storm with his voice. And suddenly they knew the guy they'd been walking with was God. All of a sudden, it changed everything. It matters. I've seen so many people, I've heard them talk, not overly related to a church, who say they support Jesus Christ, think he's a great teacher, they think they should follow his rules, and they believe he's someone that they should try to imitate, and they don't understand, they miss the whole point. You don't understand the true nature of the gospel till you understand God was born in a stable and laid in a manger. God was crucified on the cross, and God rose again because it took the blood of the Son of God to pay the penalty for my sins. Our next verse was, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus loved the Father perfectly for you. Jesus gave his heart for your divided one. Jesus was condemned so that you are not. When you understand that concept, then I challenge you to live in that reality. We spend too much of our time wallowing in our mistakes and the things that we have done wrong. And I know I brought up one of mine. I could bring up 100 mistakes. I try really hard not to wallow in them. When you spend your personal prayer time, how many times do you find yourself confessing the same sin over and over again? Maybe one that pops up from years ago or something that bothered you from some time back. I would like to challenge you to live in a moment of grace. That is to understand that when you say a prayer to God, you pray as one of His children. Bible says the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Who is righteous? Joseph was really good at it. Jesus, really good at it. I am perfect, washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Sorry, I know the front row was discounting me. You are perfect. You stand every moment of your life with your sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. We live too much in remorse. We live too much with the idea that God is grading our lives, and the reason He calls you to be a disciple is because if you're good enough, He gets you to heaven. We have this another false idea put there by, I believe, Satan, that says when you get to heaven, there's a line at the gate, and St. Peter is standing there at the gate in a little building, and he's checking each one of you as you go in to see if you get to go into heaven. False view of heaven. Jesus said to His disciples, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and when I have that place prepared, I will come and I will take you there. My wife likes to travel. I do not. We travel. So my wife said she has found one of those, a mansion in a winery in Virginia that's been turned into a bed and breakfast, and she wants to go there. I grew up on a farm in Kansas. That's a lot of steps below a mansion, okay? I'm not comfortable there. So I put my foot down and said, we are not going there. We went. We pull up to this gate in the middle of this rolling hillside. There's no house or nothing. I pull up to the gate, and right beside the gate, there's a little post, and a voice from the post says, welcome. He said, is this the Shims? I said, yes, it is. The gate opened up. That's what heaven is like. You have property there already. They know your name. You are right now a child of God. Your sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. When you live in that joy of salvation, you are prepared for what our text is going to ask you to do. Then you're prepared to be a disciple. Not because you are trying to measure up, but because you are trying to be the glory God has for this world. In number 6 says, the new heart lives differently. Now in Christ, some things begin to change. The love we could not produce is now being formed in us. When you begin to live in this new reality, being a disciple is not something you do. A good work is not something you do. This is something you are. This is who you are. This is who you are in the world. When you are standing in any situation, the tendency is to say, what am I doing here? And the question should be, what am I doing here? Why has God placed me here? How did this happen is not the question. It's why did it happen? And why am I here? When you begin to understand that you've already measured up, that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed you clean, then there's no measuring up to do. You must be here because God put you in that place to be His person. There's a law in Florida, since I'm from Kansas, there's a law in Florida called Stand Your Ground. And it's very controversial, and evidently you can get shot challenging this particular law. But it occurred to me, when you say stand your ground in Florida, I think it means you have rights and obligations to the space where you are. Someone can't just come knock you over. It occurs to me that where you stand is your ground. Where God places you is the place He has for you to be. I grew up on a farm, like I told you, and my father had equipment, tractors and trucks and trailers and balers and every kind of equipment. I and my brothers broke every one of them. It's incredible the amount of things that can go wrong. I remember driving home from a field, and I had a disc on the back of a tractor. And the big things were different then. Our big luxury was we had a cooler with cold water in it. And I decided, since I'm driving along next to the fence, next to the trees, I will have a drink of cold water. So I reach for the cooler, I knock it over, and as I lean to get it, I swerve the tractor, and I climbed up a tree. Well, I climbed up the tree till I'm vertical, and it gouged the disc into the ground, and I was stuck there. Smoke is coming out, wheels are turning. I'm vertical. So I turned off the tractor, hanging on the steering wheel, and say, I'm going to have to go explain this to my father. I, as creative as I am, I cannot think of a good story for me being up a tree with a tractor. But I had a very loving father who would just come and we would fix things. So I had children, and I wasn't a farmer, but I got stuff. I got a lawnmower, I got a rototiller, I got a weed eater, I got some drills. My children managed to break all of those things. I don't know how you can run into a garage, just been there for the whole time, but you can. And it wouldn't matter if it wasn't my brand new lawnmower, okay? That's all I'm saying. So I called my father, and I said, I realize I never apologized to you for all the stuff I broke. And I would like to tell you about children and breaking things. I learned love when I held my first child. They could have burned the house down, and I would not have been angry. There was no way I could be overly angry at them. I called my father to say, I understand now. When you own the equipment, when it's yours, you're not just using it, you're taking care of it. You're a little more careful because it belongs to you. God would have you to take ownership of where you are in the world. You are not here because you are killing time. You're not here because you are in the backwater somewhere. You're not here because there's no other place to be. You are specifically where you are to be God's disciple, to be God, to make a difference in that place because God put you there. He has in mind you be there. He has in mind you make a difference. He has in mind you say, I'll pray for you, and then you do it. He has in mind that you be a person who makes a difference. Someday you will be standing on a slippery place, and someone will slip and fall. It helps ahead of time to know who you are, that you are someone who runs to help, that you are someone who says, what can I do? That you are someone who says, if they want to know, I can tell you about Jesus. It makes a difference in your world when you have the same expectations that God has for you, that you belong to Him for a good reason, that you are out into the world for His reason, and that you will manage to be His people because He has the power and the authority. Read the Bible verse with me. It's in the middle there, right under the word memory verse. Let's say it together. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. It's too big to be a bumper sticker, but it's a nice way to start the day. Just to remember, not what you have to do, but just to remember who you are. God grant it in Jesus' name, amen. I know I surprised the music guy again, but let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you called us to be your people. We rejoice that you have gifted us with forgiveness of sins that washes away our sins and gifts us with forgiveness that lasts forever. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to be your representatives, that you give us a place to be your disciples. We pray, Lord, for wisdom, the kind of wisdom that gives us words to say and gives us the right thing to do. And we pray for a confidence that you put us there because you knew we had the right words to say. So, Lord, use us as your instruments in this world. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Are we? Oh, yeah, we are good. See, I plugged that right in. Dave, thank you so much, brother. That was awesome. Don't you love his sense of humor? I'm back there laughing like crazy, man. He is just great. So we're going to follow this up with giving and receiving of our morning offering. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come from where you are and bring your offering here. So I call your attention to your bulletin. There's an envelope there you can use for your offering. Also, there's instructions for giving online if you prefer that. And in, so we'll be receiving the offering in just a moment, along with your connection card. If you have just a minute and you want to communicate to us, on the back side of the card, you can tell us commitments you're making, prayer requests, things you'd like to be involved in. You can sign up for some of the activities. The ladies are going to Marina Cafe tomorrow night, so you could sign up for that. And the right people will be in touch with you. The men are not as fortunate. Next Saturday, we'll have breakfast here at the 98 campus, but we invite you to Mark Minnebier Breakfast, if you'd like to come and be with us. We'd love to do that. I'm going in and out. So take a look at the bulletin, see if there's some other activities you want to do. Your connection card, you can mark that, and we'll be in. So let me pray for the offering, and then we'll give you an opportunity to bring your offering and your connection card to the front. Father, we thank you for the worship we've enjoyed. We thank you for the message we have received. And we pray that we might go from here with a new heart. Receive these offerings with the love and honor we intend. In Jesus' name, amen. You may come.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Oh, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you, Jesus, and holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder, show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Lead me in your love. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you. shaken.